Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you, wherever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of EloquentOnline.net in sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, co-host of Troy's Show. Troy's Show, The Power of Performance, and he is in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, buddy.
It's my show, and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to.
Our guest today has made a big change of the show. It is now Troy's Show because it's on Twitter, Troy, and if it's on Twitter, it has to be so, correct?
It's on LinkedIn as well, so I just want to make sure that we all get it.
I haven't started yet.
I am putting it on Facebook. I am going to put it out there. I am going to go around to all of my friends and have them favorite just so it'll be out there so I can score more points on my little social media scale.
I have no doubt, and you just reminded me. I have yet to post the link on LinkedIn, but I will do that as soon as the show is over. That's right. We're going to be joined by Corey Pace, very, very sharp young lady. I just got her in this competition that we're going to talk to her about. Really, really cool guest joining us from Troy, your home credit union of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. That's got to be cool.
It's very cool, and not only does Corey represent our credit union, but she was also the finalist in the Charleston chapter birthday contest, and so very happy about that. But more importantly, what Corey represents and for our show is what we actually do all the time. We talk about generational marketing, we talk about sales, we talk about leadership, and she is a combo dynamite of all three of those particular areas, and she has a wonderful perspective on the millennial generation with her knowledge and research. And she has done some very grounded research to be able to make some assertions and claims that we're going to hear from her about today. And it's really exciting to have her a part of the group.
Yeah, I think it's great when we get to talk to people that are actually, again, Troy and I on this show, we are big on celebrating results. Anybody can talk about intentions. We like talking to people about tangible results that other credit unions can then take and use for the betterment of their own brand. The name of the show is Troy's Show, The Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you by Go Marquee. .com, just like it sounds, G-O-M-A-R-Q-U-I-S. That is the commercial. The website itself will tell you everything you need to know about this very, very unique and creative family-owned company in the banking marketplace. So, hey, when we get back from the break, we're going to go out to South Carolina and join Corey, and we're going to do it all right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
It's a tough call. Tough call. Sure. Hey, Corey, how's it going?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Thank you. Oh, we're fine. On Troy's Show.
Corey, don't pay any attention to him. He loves to just take things and run them into the ground.
Well, I
was
to represent.
So excited to get you on the show because in your title, you are a talent acquisition specialist, and God knows this show has needed talent for a long time. We really need your help here today. But no, you're from South Carolina Federal Credit Union. I told you in the pre-call, I've got a long, very, very great relationship with your credit union. But tell us about you and your career with credit unions up to this point.
Yeah, well, I am probably your quintessential millennial. I have always wanted to connect purpose with my career. And I worked for a publishing company for a while and got to do that and technology. But the thing that was missing was really having a lot of purpose in what I do. So that's what attracted me to credit unions, the people helping people philosophy. Was just something that really resonated with me, and I wanted to belong to a place that was really helping people.
Very cool.
And you know, not only that, but I'm going to follow up with a follow-up question before I get to my other real question. But Corey, one of the advantages that you have talked about in your research is the flexibility and a little bit of how the credit union has been able to attract and retain you as a millennial because of the flexibility.
Right, absolutely. I have three children now, and three children under six, and the credit union has been so generous to me. A while back, I thought, I don't know how I can balance this anymore, and I talked to my supervisor, and she suggested a peak time status, so I work about 16 hours a week, so it's a pretty good deal. In fact, my kids right now are napping as I'm on the phone right now, so hopefully we don't hear any baby cries in the background.
And we'll try to be real quiet. I didn't know that. I would have busted out Brahms' lullabies for the break.
That's funny. So Corey, one of the things that we hyped a little bit about was the CU Aware 2014 Protégé competition that was done in combination with the Carolinas Credit Union League, which supports credit unions in both North Carolina and South Carolina. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience through that competition?
Sure. So my experience really was when I saw that it was advertised, that it was an opportunity for young professionals in the credit union to really become more engaged and learn more about the industry as a whole. I really jumped at that. My supervisor had mentioned that this might be a good option for me, and it's just been a really great experience. I've got to network and meet some wonderful people in the industry, got to attend the leadership conference after I won the Charleston chapter. That's where I was able to participate in the competition on the league level, and got to attend some wonderful seminars and just learn more about the industry as a whole.
Yeah, and Corey, I'll tell you. Corey was successful. She was the second runner-up for the program, and the first runner-up for the program was Anna McGee out in Columbia, and the top winner for the program was Micah Smith, and he was from the Greenville area.
So all South Carolina. Wow, take that out. I'm sorry, Corey. Our studio audience are not typically high performers. We get these people from all over the place. So talk about needing to acquire some talent. Studio audience is well aware of that. I think that's awesome. I love these types of competitions because I think it's a great way for organizations to identify people that are doing things that are interesting. You mentioned in your bio that you wanted to help credit unions find and retain talent in the millennial generation. You just talked about flexibility. I could tell when you said it that it was a big deal. First of all, I can't imagine having three kids under the age of six. I have but one tax deduction, and he's 13. But I was at his school this morning for Grandparents' Day with my parents, and the flexibility to go there and not have to worry about asking for that time off and experiencing things like that, it's impossible to put a dollar amount on those kinds of events. What other kinds of things besides flexibility do credit unions need to do to find, win, and keep bright, intelligent millennials?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times folks think of millennials, they think, I need to be really high tech, I need to be really competitive with my wages, and those things are important, but the number one thing, and this was found in PricewaterhouseCoopers Millennial Survey, is career progression. Opportunity for career progression really took the survey hands down. And so, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean, sometimes people think of millennials and they think they just graduated college and now they want to be the CEO. No, that doesn't necessarily mean that. But it does mean that they are having an active opportunity to engage on a strategic level with your organization, and that they're getting to move toward the next step in their career. And so providing active career pathing and planning for these folks is really key, because the talent that drives the innovation is what's going to drive the industry growth.
Right.
And we recognize that on a leadership level. And so one of the things that sort of has come out of this process is we recognize that young professionals today definitely want that upward mobility. So part of the CU Aware program that we have piloting this year is all the finalists are matched up with a mentor. So we created a mentoring program, a young man named Will Crosswell, who was the 2013 Protégé recipient. He and I worked together with Christy Ortiz from Optimal Talent Solutions and devised a 12-month program that would allow individuals to connect and be able to find their mentor and really get that opportunity to work back and forth with each other and to gain the experience. And a lot of the way we operate that mentoring, one of the key aspects of why it might be different is we offer what is called a day in the life. And it's an opportunity for the mentor to shadow the mentee as well as the mentee shadowing the mentor. And typically in most of those programs, you only have the individual coming, the young professional coming to the experienced leader and talking with them. But we felt that there was great value in the experienced leader actually being an active coach and watching what was happening and then being able to maybe talk about that and really just augment and improve that relationship, because we do recognize that this upward mobility is important. And in the credit union industry, if we don't take charge of upward mobility and make sure that the millennials feel like they have a place, and if they have to wait for old folks like me in order to move out of the way to feel that they can contribute value, then they're not going to hang around. And we
right.
need them to hang around, and we want them to do that. So,
well, I'll tell you, Corey, when you were talking about
– interruption.
Yeah, and Corey, when you were talking about flexibility, I did want to ask you, by way of following up to that, now you mentioned you have 3 kids under the age of 6. Let's say, and I'm not sure if you're thinking this far down the road, but maybe 6-7 years from now you're getting into, you know, middle and preschool or elementary school and middle school. If the schedule changed and you wanted to work full-time, would you consider doing that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, that's the plan. And, in fact, my supervisor – asks me all the time, whenever you're ready to come back full time, just let me know. I know that that's waiting for me, and I'm excited about that, because not only have I had this flexibility, but, you know, when I took it, I was kind of thinking, well, maybe I'll step back a little bit as far as career progression, and I'll just kind of be doing some administrative things. But I was so pleasantly surprised. My supervisor has been wonderful to really work on my continued development. Still be able to participate in programs like this, and I just feel like when I'm able to come back full time, it's going to be like I didn't even miss a beat. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we are too. So Corey, can you share with us a little bit about your goals for the future? You know, from other young professionals, I think they all like to hear, like, well, you know, kind of what's on your radar. We realize, of course, we've talked a few times about, you know, your young children and the potential to be full time, but transcending beyond that, what are some of your goals that might be relating to your development or behaviors that you want to adopt as a leader? I mean, what are some of those things that you could share with folks?
Yeah, you know, I really do feel invested in the credit union movement. Like I said, I have that personal connection to the philosophy of credit unions, and I would love to see that kind of go to another level. I love working with my specific credit union with South Carolina Federal. I've been excited to really work on the talent mobility program and really provide options for our employees. I'd love to kind of take that to another level and bring that to credit unions of all sizes, because whether you're big or small, as a credit union, you can do things to develop your employees. And I'd like to bring that awareness to other credit unions and give them the tools that they need in order to really recruit and retain top talent.
That's awesome. You know, Corey, I know you said your kiddos are napping. We're visiting with Corey Pace, so we're going to play one of our more quiet bumps. We'll put this volume a little bit lower, a little John Mayer, so the kids don't wake up. When we get back from the break, I want to ask you about if your future kind of fast-forwarded and you were made the president of a credit union today or tomorrow, what would be the first thing that you would do? And we'll hear her answer right after this.
You can listen online, you can listen on your smartphone, you can listen later whenever you need to. This is the power of performance.
So Corey, this is a subliminal message. When you become the CEO, you're going to give Troy a raise.
Exactly, that's my first act right there.
Oh, seriously though, Corey, if you know what's good for you, the first thing you'll do when you're no, I'm not going to. A couple things you said that I wrote down. Troy always talks about quote keepers, flexibility. That's probably going to be the first thing I tweet when I get finished with the show. But you talked about career progression, and Will Crosswell, I'm sure he has career progression. He's been on this show. He's actually co-hosted this show. So I can tell you, Corey, that having been on the show, your career progression just went in reverse. But we'll do everything we can to make sure that we help you move along in your chosen career path. You talked about career progression. I think that's what the intergenerational squabbles are about. People in my age group and older sometimes equate career progression with career progression too quickly, and so I liked how you talked about that. But if you were, it doesn't have to be South Carolina Federal Credit Union, any credit union, you were made the president of the credit union today or tomorrow morning, what would your first order of business be?
Well, I almost, for my personal credit union, I think Here's the common denominator I see with the credit union movement. I see that we all have a common philosophy, and we all kind of have a common challenge, and that is communicating the credit union difference.
Yep.
And so as a president of a credit union, I would love to use that influence with other executives in my league, even on a national level. And I'd love to see us come together for some type of campaign, a national campaign.
Wow.
To educate the public, millennials, on what a credit union is, why it makes a difference, and the impact it can have when they choose a credit union as their financial institution.
That's awesome. And we did actually, we almost always send out questions ahead of time, and that wasn't the ones we set out, but we like to ask that of the people that have been in these young protege, next top credit union executive kind of contest, and I think you're absolutely right. Troy has talked many times on this show about a national branding campaign. Troy, when did you first talk about that, 3 years ago?
Yes, we did, and it was the trademark Everyday Bank Transfer Day, which
That's
is
right.
still available for all credit unions to use at
That's
any
right.
time. It's accessible. Again, part of that sort of stems from a little bit of what Corey was saying, and that was really looking for that got milk, other white meat, and the incredible edible egg sort of program. But unfortunately, the primary reason that that does not happen is because although credit unions are cooperative, they fail to rank high in the collaboration area. And the collaboration area requires them to have to come together and suck it up and think that their idea isn't the best one and that they can somehow move together. And so for me, it's like, and so you hear me say that, and then you say, well, gee, you just promoted Everyday Bank Transfer Day like everybody was supposed to accept your idea. The value behind what was created with Everyday Bank Transfer Day isn't so much that we have to adopt that slogan, but we put in place a philosophy that could work. Credit unions are constantly challenged in order to make it work with their brand, whatever the national slogan is. And the national program continues to put out things that are four-color oriented, that are specifically laden with rules and regulations on how to use it and placement and all of that. And yes, that's important from a brand. But the reality is to help small credit unions who might be a $1 million credit union, a $100 million credit union, which is the backbone of the 6,632 credit unions
Absolutely.
In our industry today, they need a more flexible program that they don't have to worry about four color. They don't have to worry that the logo, because these folks don't have marketing professionals. I have the privilege of being able to say I have a marketing team that I can speak to that will help. But there are other folks that would say, I'd love to have a team. Where's the team? I am the team, you know? So
So
the idea is that can we not create that? And if we do create it, we have to create it in an environment that actually says, look at the data. Look at the reasons why there aren't adoption. Why does it not happen? Why does it not work? And that lack of flexibility, which is the one thing we talked about,
Absolutely.
Is the reason that it has not happened.
Listen, Corey, before Troy Before Troy asks folks how to get a hold of you, I just wanted to tell you that it was great talking to you. We gave you a whopping, I think, 10 hours of preparation before we called you onto the show because I wasn't getting my texts yesterday. I've been having some tech issues here in Texas. But if you'll permit me, I just wanted to give you a little bit of advice and just hang around Troy. Be a rebel because that's what the credit union marketplace needs right now. Are people that will rebel against old thinking. I cannot tell you how many credit unions there are in this country right this very second that when you came to them and said, hey, I've got three kids, I might like to work part-time, but I'll come back when things change, they would have said, I'm sorry, we can only pay full-time employees this and benefits that, and they would have given you a litany of reasons why they couldn't be flexible, and they would have lost your time, and they would have lost your talent. So go out there, be bold, and be a rebel. You've got a good buddy there at the credit union, Troy, and Chrissy Ortiz is also a very, very bright and intelligent young lady that's also been on this show. So it's been a real pleasure having you on.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And Corey, so I know that that folks can connect with you through LinkedIn, right? So it's Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, Pace, P-A-C-E. What would be another way that you might want individuals to kind of connect with you if they've heard the show and said, hey, I want to talk to this gal a little more?
Sure. Well, definitely LinkedIn. I have a pretty high presence on that, being a recruiter, so I'm on there constantly. But certainly if folks wanted to email me any questions, too, they can reach me at cpace@scfederal.org.
Great. Corey, thanks again for being on the show, and thanks for raising the IQ.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Amen to that. Really nice. We needed it, too. Really good. Troy and I will wrap it up right after this. Right after this. All right. Hit the thing. Tell you what, I've got to ask Troy, is her supervisor Chrissy Ortiz?
Chrissy is one of her supervisors, yes.
I thought so. You know, isn't it amazing that Chrissy Ortiz, who first came on the show and talked about Generation Z and has been an expert on generational things, is making good decisions to hold on to young millennial talent?
Yes, and I am so grateful for the leadership in our HR department, our HR management programs with folks like Paige and Leslie and Margaret, who really anchor a lot of the philosophy of the organization and really hold to the concept that human resources are the company's most important asset. And that group has fostered an employer of choice philosophy for years that is just indoctrinated into our culture. And so one of the ways to become an employer of choice is to look out for your workforce. And it's really looking out for all generations and determining what can you do for all workforce. And we know that flexibility is definitely important in today's work environment, and it's sometimes important regardless of what generation you are, but we know it speaks very very strongly to that millennial generation.
Yeah, I thought it was just very interesting listening to her, you know, talking about the flexibility. And, you know, I mean, you're the chief operating officer of a big credit union. There are lots of big and small credit unions that simply would not make – it's like you either work 20 hours or you work 40 hours a week. There's no in between. And of course, their refrain has been what it has been. We've always done things this particular way. And so I think it's really cool that you guys – again, life simplified.
Yeah.
Being applied to the external marketplace and the internal marketplace.
And I know it'll surprise you, but I did a little preparation for today's session, specifically knowing about talent acquisition, because in my doctoral program right now, I'm in the HR management class, which is the last class I have to take, and it'll be done on the 23rd of November, so I'm happy about that. But in research that has gone on for decades, it has identified and this came to me as part of an inquiry that says that why would organizations continue to spend money on training and development, knowing that development and that training can walk out the door with high employee turnover. So that got me thinking, and I thought about it, and I went, well, you know, I don't think the real issue is training. The issue is not whether or not I should do training. For me, that's like a question, and I'll just make it, you know, pretty tough talk of Troy simple. Would you think of going outside without brushing your teeth? Chances are you wouldn't. You know, there's certain other things that you would consider to be a part of my everyday. I need to have it. Well, training is one of them. Now, you can't take training lightly, but I did. But further the research actually discovered many documented sources that said that, and I kind of pulled them down to the top three reasons that people leave an organization. They leave an organization because of the relationship with their supervisor isn't great. And if you listen to what Corey said, Corey has a great relationship with her supervisor. The second reason people leave is because their work is not meaningful. And what did she say? I wanted to join
her
credit
union. Her social purpose matched up with her job.
Purpose.
That's right.
Yes, it's just I want to do something that makes a difference. And then the third reason, which is very logical, that would say this is that sometimes people feel that the pay doesn't equal the job that they're asked to do. And so as a result, then pay sometimes causes an individual to turn over. So the opportunity for training and development, and the opportunity to take young professionals and to develop them from a leadership perspective has to be one of our number one opportunities and reasons to do that. And as we've talked on the show before, we've said there are four primary characteristics of the millennial generation. When our folks go back and listen to this again, they will hear that Corey talked about these four items somewhere in the process: entrepreneurial spirit, socially driven, socially active, and collaborative. And interesting, today in the session that I was in with the conference, I'm here with the Pfizer Fall Forum here in Orlando, we heard from Dr. Ben Bernanke this morning. And one of the things that he said in his commentary with some questions that were asked is, how do you think that our economy will actually be able to recover? What is something that we have that might, really aid us? What could we look to? And he very quickly said, without much hesitation, that the success of our economy is driven by the entrepreneurial spirit of this country today. And it just one more time cements the fact that, and when you think about Dr. Bernanke, you know, you have to not only realize that he was the chairman of the Fed for 8 years, but he is a doctor of knowledge. I mean, he searches for information. He's not going to speak something unless it is grounded, unless it is, serious, sourced from the truth. So when he tells me that one of the reasons that we can be successful as an economy is an entrepreneurial spirit, that all of a sudden says to me, from my marketing hat, it says, folks, we need to start thinking about how we can support the entrepreneurial spirit within our credit unions or within our institutions. Start thinking about it. And it's not just about entrepreneurial spirit for the individuals, but think about products. Think about how you're going to be a partner and be a solution for individuals. There will be more young people starting their business today than there has ever been in the history of this country. We're not going to be large manufacturing firms. Those jobs that we need, those 150,000 jobs per year, they're not going to come because a manufacturing firm has actually decided to open up a plant and we could drop 75,000 people in. It's going to happen from the small moms and pops activities across the country. That's where the growth will be.
Well, and I'll tell you, and I think it's great that y'all are developing, in many ways, that entrepreneurial culture, even though it's within the context of the South Carolina brand, which is from the outside looking in a large corporation in South Carolina, but one that is clearly not being what I see happen a lot of times in credit unions, Troy, is people take the size of their brand and use it to their disadvantage instead of to their advantage. Hey, listen, I'm so glad we had Corey on today. It prevented me from having to talk about all other kinds of stuff that we don't even need to discuss on the show. Troy, great find out there. I know you guys at South Carolina Federal are proud. You've got a great long tradition of promoting people and taking care of people, and I just think it's a great, great story that more people need to know about, and that is the story of South Carolina Federal Credit Union. I hope you have safe travels back home.
Thank you. I will. And although you branded a little bit of today that we were cooler than water, actually we are hot. We are boiling freaking hot.
That's true.
I just want to let you know. And the guest today was even hotter than the host. I mean, so we can just
so right.
Who was hot.
Yeah. You were. When you're right, you're right. Hey, you have a great rest of your week, sir, and I'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you. You too, buddy.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week.
And that's all, folks.